is there a part of the brain that requires, and it's a darn good question, that requires love?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are parts of the brain they are now finding that are responsible for the experience of love. And I remember in one of the prior shows that we did together, you asked me just that. You said, well, you know, you can't reduce everything. What about love?
Right.
And I even said, you'll see one day they will use an MRI and yeah. they will begin to measure the experience of love.
Of love.
And since that time, there's been a number of experiments that have come out that have done just that, reduced the experience of love to neurotransmitters. There's a woman, Helen Fisher, at Rutgers, and she's one of the chief proponents of these theories, and she's done a lot of the research, and what she's found are that there are neurotransmitters involved with the bonding experience, and that, as a matter of fact, there are some people whose brains secrete an excess of these neurotransmitters and have a problem like with relationships, like they get overly attached, they become codependent.
Right.
You know, you could have one date with them and they're, you know, psychotically involved
yep.
because their brains are secreting too much of this bonding mechanism neurotransmitter.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, and she's even going as far as to suggest that one day we'll have drugs that will help balance those people. So are those out there who are stalkers, who don't know how to conduct a stable relationship with another human
Ooh.
Might need to be medicated.
So the judge could make you take anti-love pills.
That's right, or anti-bonding pills. Now, these same, it's interesting, these same neurotransmitters, that they're actually, they're called oxytocin and vasopressin, and they're the chemistry in the brain of basically of love, of attachment. And what's interesting is, for instance, if you stimulate a woman's nipples, it will create this release of oxytocin in her brain, and that will create a bond with whoever is touching her there. So if she's making love with a man, she's becoming bonded to him, which serves an evolutionary purpose because now she's sort of securing herself a man who's going to help take care of her and her future child. And
as I was going to ask, and now you're just leading right to it, whether the sex part of the brain and the love part of the brain are connected, or whether they can idle along separately.
Well, they're very connected because it's often the act of sex that causes the secretion of these chemicals that's creating a bonding experience.
Gotcha.
Which is why often when people have sexual encounters, they might not know each other's names, but they might wake up having a very strong feeling for that other person.
It's true.
Even
when you turn over and you go, phew, I don't remember that face.
Right. But interestingly, because it's a woman's nipples are sensitive to the release of these chemicals,
mm-hmm.
it also happens when a baby is breastfeeding.
Same. That's fascinating.
So it creates a bonding mechanism. Now it's
right.
Mm-hmm.
No, that makes sense. Absolute sense.
Yeah, so it's like one of the first things when you deliver a baby, they hand it to the mother and it starts suckling.
Absolutely.
It secretes. Now, also, in giving birth, when a woman's vagina dilates like that, it creates, during contraction, it also stimulates the release of these chemicals. She's flooded with oxytocin the moment of birth. The first thing, they put the baby in front of the mother, which is a very important moment. If you
Yes.
took the baby away for a few hours, she'd be missing, the mother would be missing an important part of her maternalizing experience.
Huh.
So when you put the baby in the woman's lap, she's flooded with oxytocin. She lays eyes on this child who's otherwise really a stranger to her. I mean, hypothetically, you could even switch babies and play a practical joke on the mother, and it could be not even her own child. She will be ultimately bonded. She will defend that child with her life because of the chemicals surging through her brain. And sometimes because the oxytocin causes contractions, sometimes midwives, for instance, if a woman is having a hard time during labor, she will stimulate the woman's nipples to create the release of more oxytocin, which will induce labor.
This oxytocin, does it,
Not apparent, to be confused with OxyContin.
Yeah, I've got you. Does it produce a lasting effect? In other words, once this bonding has occurred, it's there always. A mother will protect a child to the death, mm-hmm. as sort of the normal thing, always, right? So
yes.
So it's a release of something, but there's a more permanent thing that's occurring.
Well, then you get into, like, visual imprinting. You know, so if whatever image, you know, again, if you switched babies at birth, again, to do, let's say, a practical joke on that mother.
You wouldn't do that, would you?
Well, I wouldn't do it, but hypothetically, you take someone else's child, and then maybe a week later say, oh, we were just kidding with you. This is your real child.
You know, it's actually happened, only not a week later, like 20 years later.
Right, exactly.
Find out switched at birth.
Mm-hmm. And nevertheless, the mother's not going to necessarily relinquish her feelings for a child that isn't even hers.
Well,
she'll still have that strong connection because of the visual imprinting.
Matthew, this even works cross species because you will see kittens nursing on a dog or the other way around, whatever. That kind of thing goes on all the time, right?
That's right, because the neurotransmitters involved play on the brain's limbic system, which is called the sort of the lizard part of the brain, because that's when, during the evolution of reptiles, that was when the limbic system began to evolve. I mean, you look at like a creature like the fish, you know, they don't bond with their children. They lay a gazillion eggs.
Right.
The mother swims away. A male comes and fertilizes them. He swims away, and the children are off on their own. There's no need for that part of the brain for those types of connections. But lizards were the first to lay eggs and to watch over the eggs and watch over the young.
These really are specific parts of the brain that we're beginning to identify by watching the brain in action, right?
Yes.
Love mm-hmm. part, the God part, the sex part, and now even the guilt part. Is that right?
That's correct. Even, well, guilt related to moral consciousness. They're finding that one's capacity to understand right from wrong,
yes.
to understand, like, the difference between doing something good for another person and doing something selfish or bad to another person
right.
is dependent to a large extent on the functioning of specific regions in the brain.